This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Mike Shope.
It's nothing you did.
It's not you, it's me.
It's not you, it's you, but you didn't cross me.
And the Bulldog.
Why did I choose? Why did I just stay in school?
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Welcome, fresh off his lesson in Caribbean stud poker. Bulldog is with us today. I mean, he's been traveling a lot. You might have wondered, is he in Turkey?
That was at the end last night, right? Is that when that was?
Yes.
That was what you were talking about
there? And yeah, you've been spotted playing. Yeah. Since then, you made it out like you didn't even care, but I guess you cared a great deal. You tried to beat the house in Caribbean stud.
Well, I took all that new knowledge that I was carefully and dutifully paying attention to as you were talking about it, and yeah, I wanted to implement it as soon as I could. So yeah, I left here and went right out.
Why wait?
Yeah.
Why let that just sit?
I don't want to say what venue that I use this expertise because I don't want to. I don't really want to be found out.
Okay.
Like I want to be kind of stealth.
Underground.
Just is there, sort of sneak in and out.
Is there underground Caribbean stud?
Oh, there has to be.
I don't think there is.
Come on.
No. You're not playing that with friends. That's a house game. That's a game where you're supposed to lose. No. So you would play like, you know, straight up. You wanted to bet Manchester United today. You would, if you did it through me and I just wanted 10%, you would not do that.
No, I definitely wouldn't do that.
So, you know, you just go to your app. You went to some pretty good work here to get this game on.
I did, sure. There were steps involved. The ESPN app had to tell me where Manchester United and Atletico, is that?
Athletic Club.
Athletic Club, thank you. Spanish. Where it was going to be carried. The app had it there, Paramount Plus. So
Paramount Plus.
We
have that?
But for, yeah. First I went into the TV because we often will get games that aren't, you know, scheduled to be on what we think are standard broadcast carriers, and we find them on, like, Spanish-speaking channels.
Fine.
So I went and did that. And instead of Tudden, there was a game listed in this competition, the Europa League semifinals, but it was the other semifinal featuring Tottenham, and I don't know who they're playing. But they're also up 3-1 on aggregate going into the second leg of this. So at that point, I went, okay, well, because that was the CBS Sports Network, which is Paramount, you know, affiliated.
Yes.
But then I closed that out, went into the Fire Stick here, and for the first time ever, tried Paramount Plus. It opened with a welcome screen that asked who was viewing.
Yep.
And none
maybe
of the,
Joe's mom.
Yeah, none of the people are. I didn't recognize any of the names. Sorry.
Because it's not a work device. It's
right,
somebody else's.
Right.
It's Joe's, maybe.
So if I should know the name of Joe's mom from when he got married, I'm sorry that I have forgotten. Yeah. But anyway, just clicked on that name. Okay, let's try it. And here we are.
I'm not sure I'm right. But
yeah, I don't know either. But I would guess that.
Work would never have Paramount.
No, absolutely not.
Or any other streaming service.
No.
No.
No, we're lucky we get like 2, 4, and 7.
We get Sesame Street.
So
I think. Helpless. Is that still? I think we do.
No, budget cuts. That's gone.
That's going to be going away?
I don't really know that. I'm sorry.
What sports team? So here's Manchester United. I know you have, I think, a little, not a casual interest, a little bit above casual.
Probably above casual. Enough to come in here and know that they were playing today. And, well, I'm giving myself too much credit. I wasn't thinking about it when I walked in the door. I logged into my Twitter account, and one of the first posts I saw was from a writer from The Athletic that I follow that covers Man United, and was, you know, something about the lineup, whatever. I'm like, oh yeah, that's today. And that started that whole process that I just
yes,
painstakingly
it is
detailed.
May 8th. I mean, with due respect to the all-important rookie minicamp lying ahead here for the Bills in the next couple of days, what sports team? Which sports team do you think about the most right now, like today, or just sort of in general this week, this time of year? This was a tough question for me because, and you got to kind of maybe take work out of the equation because mostly for work, it's going to be Bill stuff.
Yeah.
And I end up thinking about them a lot. But right now, even last week was different. Right now, I'm not in a place where like Bill stuff is coming easily to me. Like I'm not, especially, it's not just like the time of year, but it's also that I think probably we're looking at another kind of easy season for them. You know, that's what should happen. They're three games better in the win totals than the second best in the AFC East, 11.5 to 8.5. And the 11.5 is getting bet up. So it with any, you know, conversation about wide receivers and the different things, they're expected to be really good. And you never know, but I'll settle for that. And so in the first week of May, with the season 4 months out, we've got the draft is over. The schedule is coming up next week. We'll have our fun with that. But otherwise, I don't have a lot to work with. You know, yesterday I asked you, what are you scared of?
I said nothing.
And there's really not much. I mean, you might have a thing out there, but it's really not. It's a, you know, other teams would have bigger concerns. Maybe all other teams, almost all other teams. So the Bills are the Bills. The Sabres, so we ran with them yesterday, and that's just, it's newsy, it's interesting and even controversial, but it's also depressing. And I don't really like thinking about them, you know? And then who else is in the conversation? Your favorite baseball team, your favorite soccer team.
Right.
The Bandits.
Golf majors.
But teams.
Right, as far as teams go.
If you make it about, which team do you think about the most, like, right now?
Well, you're gonna know why right away, but I am paying particular attention to the Oklahoma City Thunder.
And the Stars.
And the Dallas Stars.
Right. Of course.
The first two legs of a preposterously large parlay bet on winning championships. And those are the two teams on deck. And so last night was a good night after, game one of the NBA thing didn't go that great for Oklahoma City. But anyway.
Plus, the East favorites are losing.
Right. That's right.
You could use that.
Hockey definitely is front and center. Like I'm thinking about, I'm watching multiple games a night here, you know, when they're available. And even last night, I tried to sort of shut it down after the first period of the Dallas game, but I was 20 minutes or more went by and I was still awake. And I was like, I'm just turning it back on. So I watched, you know, the first two periods of that. And that's the case most nights here as the playoffs have gotten going. I mean, of course, the games as we get into the second round, there's not as many of them per night anymore. And I think like tomorrow, there's only the one, I think. So I might actually admit that I'm thinking more about Toronto than any other team.
Yeah.
Because of our place, the Sabres, Buffalo, proximity, what is supposed to be a rivalry that doesn't feel like much of one anymore.
You didn't even this year get a win over them. These years.
Yeah. You want to talk about emotionally separated from something you've been almost borderline troublingly passionate about? That. I didn't even realize it didn't beat the Leafs.
I don't think the Sabres got a point from the Leafs.
I did. I just didn't. It didn't even register.
Mm-hmm.
I watched, I'm pretty sure, but I don't remember the results and don't care.
Well,
which is a pain. Well, I mean, now, I mean, or even as it was happening, like, whatever, I'm eliminated. You beat me. You know, like I certainly wasn't thinking if the game had gone their way that coming in here, like, oh, we beat the Leafs. Like, no.
5-3, 6-3, 4-0.
Yeah.
Were the scores.
Tough. So
tough.
I don't feel great telling our audience this, but I think I'm rooting for the Leafs.
But not against Dallas.
No, not against Dallas. If it comes to that, then, you know, all bets are off. not really. I mean, I'll stand with my bet there. The Leafs are the best story, maybe, that you could have. I mean, McDavid is still there. So, and he's playing Eichel, by the way, if you want that, with Edmonton and Vegas. So, you know, the best player of this generation getting there and winning maybe can run with the Leafs, I think. But, you know, the fact that so much of our audience has never experienced them being the champion.
And hasn't minded.
Right, that's right.
At all.
It's just been so long, and it's such an important market for hockey that, I don't know. I get torn about it because I don't think I'm supposed to root for Toronto.
I don't know.
But I end
Who
up...
Who makes those rules?
Right? Society. These are unwritten rules. These are just things that I think we believe we're supposed to accept and adhere to. But, you know, one of my best friends in the world grew up a fanatic for the Leafs. Like,
me?
knew the players in the 60s who won. Like, you know, knows where they had their off-season businesses, like a Dairy Queen in Port Colborne, right? Like, John Gale goes all the way back with this.
So, me, only older.
So, right.
Because when I was a kid, there were no off-season businesses for me to keep track of.
Right, right. So, that, I mean, it's hard for me by proximity not to feel like I'm watching the games and he's texting me, or sometimes we're together and we're watching these games and I feel like I want my friend to be happy, you know? So I don't really have a horse in the race other than the Dallas Stars and a crazy long shot parlay. And I don't know, Toronto, I like the original six franchises. I like the old teams. I like the Canadian teams in general. Even though they are, again, Montreal should be a rival, right?
It's time for Canada to win again.
Okay, sure.
You know?
Yeah.
32 years? That's crazy. And they have three looks at it right now.
Yeah.
It's time for them to win again.
They have three looks at it, three really good looks at it, too.
Yes.
It's not, you know, Montreal made it to the final in the COVID year, and that was just a ridiculous knockoff. They weren't even an actual playoff team to begin with. They got in because of the play-in thing and then got hot and whatever. Winnipeg's the President's Trophy winner. They're home for as long as they're alive. They lost last night in game one, but still, like, they're very live. Edmonton is extremely live, and Toronto's up 2-0 on the defending champs. And look great. So I guess Toronto is my answer. Like, what team am I thinking more about? It's Toronto.
Than any other.
Because if I feel a dilemma in admitting that emotionally I feel some attachment to them winning.
Sure. And I don't know. I don't feel anything emotional about them anymore. But I love the story. You know, every year. They've been in the playoffs all these years since, you know, what? Since 10 years ago or something, when they'd been through a patch where they were always bad. But still, however long it's been, they are a story every year for can they actually do it, which, you know, for a while was win one round. I guess that probably was how it sounded this year, too, is can you actually win one round? They found a team in Ottawa that they were superior to and in the playoffs historically always beat. And I was emotionally invested in that in those years, 20, 25 years ago, when they would beat the Senators. You know, the Leafs are a good answer. I don't have a better answer. I don't have a bet, and I'm kind of glad because that's just sort of
a fake way to get in it.
Not like what it's about, I guess I want to say. I do have bets at times, you know, fantasy stuff, whatever. But I don't have an answer, really. Like, I found myself this morning interested in the Knicks.
Sure, I get that.
And that's also a team I cared about a lifetime ago, but not anymore. I couldn't tell you anything about their roster or anything. I called Trista today. She's coming on here, coming up, because like the NBA thing seems really good right now with Cleveland losing and Boston losing.
Yep.
And Steph Curry is hurt. Like, what it all adds up to. So I've got a bunch of teams that are just kind of tied, really. And if I were closer attached to a baseball team, it would be that team. The Blue Jays are always a good season away from there being this for me.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not happening. So I don't know. I don't know. The Sabres really should be the answer. It's the playoffs, and what are they going to do? But I'm so far past thinking they're ever going to do anything to just bother with it, you know? Like, it's just not – there's not much of a pulse there. So maybe it's the Bills by default. I do love – I mean, I do think about the NFL season every day, no matter what time of year it is. That's the schedule. That's the draft. That's free agency. That's, you know, fantasy drafts like I had last night. Different things get me to them. Not so much for what the rookies look like on the field, but, you know, we'll talk to Sal about that tomorrow. And the Bandit thing is really cool.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Well, we got a little lag there, right? The final for that doesn't begin until next weekend.
Yeah, I guess.
So.
I'm pretty sure it doesn't begin tomorrow because Josh Byrne is coming on, and I doubt he would come on if
the game was in 2 hours or something. Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense.
So it's just kind of an interesting pocket of the year.
Yeah.
And the Bills being as good as they are, I don't know. Like, I'm not obsessing about what they lack.
Yeah. I hear that. And the Sabres have really left a desert here because, sure, you know, this year is not unlike any of the previous 13 with them not in the tournament, right? So we don't have games to sink our teeth into. But just the idea of investing in what will they do, you know, looking at the list of free agents, right? Getting feedback from what I presume is our audience, just random people who follow me on Twitter that have no idea I'm on the radio. That would be kind of weird and surprising. You know, Mitch Marner, you know, just back the truck up for a minute. That feels like the Bills trying to sign Peyton Manning when he was leaving Indianapolis to me. It's just as far-fetched, as far away as an idea as you can get to me. And that's even acknowledging that he's, you know, he's from the Ontario. He's grew up close by, you know, which is why it's such a nice story that he's had this career already with the Leafs. I just can't even do it. I can't even get to a place where I could spit the words out. Like, I can't even say what you would hope could happen. It's preposterous to me. So I just don't even know what to do with them, you know? And that's recognizing that last offseason, while there was not the final big piece of the puzzle move, you know, I think it gets lost here, you know, rightly so. Zucker was a really good move for them. We'll see if re-signing him for two more years turns out to be that too. But they got a great year from him at his age for the money they spent on him. And the McLeod trade worked great too. So they added pieces that, you know, should help them still moving forward, but what am I helping them toward? And what else is coming to supplement what is already here? I mean, I just can't imagine. Maybe you can find another couple moves that are similar enough to that, and Eric Staal can work some magic and convince guys to come. I don't know, but it's just hard to get anywhere on it.
Eric Staal. Yeah, that was a puzzle again this year with them. It always is something because they did have a few moves that worked out really nicely, and their best players were great, and they were mostly healthy. Like, they didn't have an obvious handicap in this. They just couldn't work. It didn't work on special teams, and they didn't get saves. And so almost never in contention with the season they had. But it's not because the guys that you acquired or the guys that you expect to be your stars failed them. Really didn't
right.
Go like
everything
that.
Everything kind of went as well as you could have hoped on those fronts. Thompson, Tuck, Paterka to an extent, and then the new ads that I just mentioned kind of worked out all right.
78 points.
Yeah.
Right? That's the number? 78, 79
points.
I don't think
I have it memorized anymore. But
I had 70 over 79 and a half.
Oh. Well, then you
79.
Should, then you should know.
79.
All right.
The Bandits have game one of the finals is next Friday.
Right.
Okay. It'll be here. The other series isn't over yet. Throw out the record books. Saskatchewan and Halifax.
Mm.
Game two is Saturday. Here's Paul with us. Hi, Paul.
Hey, Mike. It's interesting the way you brought it up. Which team are you thinking about? Because for me, I'm kind of just so locked into both sets of playoffs. I think both the NBA and the NHL are hitting it out of the park in these playoffs that I'm barely aware that Aaron Judge is in the midst of the best right-handed season ever on my favorite baseball team, because it just doesn't start for me until these playoffs are done. I'm not much of an NBA fan at all, but I find what the Knicks are doing fascinating. You know, Jalen Brunson's ability to hit every clutch shot he takes is amazing, and just the kind of repugnant style the Boston Celtics play basketball, and where they just, you know, they've taken 100 three-pointers in the last two games and missed 75 of them. I'm so rooting for the Knicks in that. You couldn't tell me. And I don't really like the NBA, but I'm now rooting for the Knicks because I can't stand the way the Celtics play.
This is more for me where, thanks, Paul, I would need to have a dog in the fight. You know, I don't doubt it. We've talked about it more in terms of hockey than basketball, that the playoffs have been really good. I mean, we had a few nights in a row where the game of the night was incredible. The two seventh games out west,
yep,
over the weekend.
Saturday, Sunday were tremendous. Yes.
But I don't have a bet. I don't have a team in it. Yep. And that is a deal breaker for me in my life. Like, I can respect it. I would never argue that it isn't good, you know, with some old trope about something, you know, that's different about the sport than the way it used to be. Maybe it's three-pointers. I don't know. Like, I don't think of it like that. But without, you know, I've said this many times in different circumstances, without a team to root for, I'm just kind of out. And, you know, golf, this isn't teams, but with McIlroy at the Masters, you had a guy, not everybody rooted for him, but like that was a really good story, and I love to watch that anyway, but that was an additional, you know, hook,
mm-hmm,
was a, yeah, player that you're with and you want to see how it goes. And so that was one thing, but hockey and basketball, I just don't have.
Yeah.
You find me one.
That's where we're different in that. Like, I can always just take it in. I mean, I do have the horse in the race in the Dallas Stars, but I mentioned Toronto. Like, the theater of Toronto clinging to these late leads in both of these games with their history, you know, just evident to anyone who pays attention, has been gripping to me. And that's not saying anything about the quality of the play the rest of the game, which to me last night wasn't so great, but you're getting big saves. And the first two periods, I did fall asleep during the second intermission of Dallas, Winnipeg last night. The goalies in that matchup, and like, absolutely, sure, Hellebuck's numbers last however many playoff games, I get it. He was a monster last night, and so was Ottinger. Like, they were just trading great saves the first two periods of that game. And there were, I think, all the goals were scored in the second period of that game. And it was just tremendous. Like, I don't know what the third period looked like. If Dallas just took the air out of the game, it's possible they did. They can do that. But, man, the first 40 minutes of that game were as good. I found myself thinking about the Four Nations faceoff, watching the first two. It was just, the building was electric. It just looked and sounded great.
Thanks, Paul. Trista Crick. We reacquaint with Trista after a break. We will talk to Greg Wyshynski today as well. Mike Schopen and the Bulldog here, WGR.
Plenty of time here. It's Tatum. Robinson's on him. Tatum maneuvering.
Knicks over the Celtics. Both the NHL and NBA playoffs have had lots of great nights, lots of highlights. Talking about the playoffs a little bit earlier, Sneaky Joe texts to say that I should get into the Pacers.
Okay.
Now is not the time to do that.
No, right. The time to do that would have been before the series began.
Yes.
I think, right?
The odds from Bet Online. So, as far as I know, Cleveland and Boston were both big favorites in their respective series. The Cavs are down two games to Indiana, and Indiana is the series favorite, minus 185. The Celtics are down two games to the Knicks, and they are minus 750.
Wow. It does not seem as though there's much belief that the Celtics are toast here. That's what that's.
I mean, right, that's, what did it start at?
Right? No kidding.
That's, current odds, 50. Could that be right? Current odds give. No, that can't be right. I think this is a mistake. That might be where it started. Because they say current odds give the Celtics a 53.5% likelihood of winning the series. That would be shorter than Indiana.
Yeah, yeah.
So okay. I think they just wrote it wrong. Sorry.
Okay.
That might be where it started. Now it's going to be something like maybe minus 150. But Boston would still be favored.
Yeah.
To win 4 out of 5. Okay, well. Because the other one would be kind of amazing.
Good catch, because if we had started talking about that for even 5 more minutes and then found out it was an error, that would have been that would have been tough.
Yep. We're working to reach Trista. She might – sometimes, like, she's not
well, she's,
her phone is off or different things.
There's all this – you know, she's just she's outgrown us.
Maybe, yeah.
She's got a, like, you know, the Meta – right? Was that it, the Meta? She was doing
yes,
stuff during the
– Yes.
Yeah, right.
I was texting with her this morning, and I was excited to brag to her. For me, this is a brag that I was able to get my lawnmower running, which was quite an accomplishment, I think.
I don't think that you need the "for me" thing there. I mean, you had a giant machine dropped off at your house in a crate.
Correct.
That you then had to at least do, well, I don't know what level of assembly, like how much assembling was there to be done?
I think I would say quite a bit, but I didn't build an engine or anything. The battery was already installed, but I had to unscrew some bolts and nuts and then put them in different places to get the seat fastened, to get the battery connected to get the hood snapped on, to get the steering wheel on and all these different
was the deck where the blades are underneath, was that
yes that was already built.
That was installed.
I didn't have to do any of that.
Okay, because that was my biggest when you told me about this. I thought that's a lot. Like, I didn't even want to offer to help because I was afraid I would show up and not be able to help, and I didn't want that on my I didn't want to have to carry that around.
And I didn't want to ask anybody.
Right.
Anyway.
Right. I didn't want to insult you by asking if you needed help, but I also was intimidated.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, like, if I act like, oh, I'll give you a hand with that, and then I show up, and I'm like, Jesus, this is a mess. What are you doing here?
Here's what happened. So I've got on my laptop, there's a video on the page where you buy the mower. I ended up buying it online. I'd been to the store to look at it. I decided that I wanted it. It was Saturday. The kids are doing different things. I've got errands to run and stuff. I just went ahead and bought it online. So it gets delivered on Tuesday. And on the page where you can buy the mower is a video from the store, I think. It's either from the manufacturer or from the store.
Right.
But it's a guy. It's like a 3.5-minute long video, moving fast, step by step. I believe there were 14 steps. And I will tell you the rest of this story eventually, because it actually got interesting today. On the West Shore Hotline is Trista Crick. How are you, Trista? Been a while.
I'm good, guys. How are you guys doing?
We're doing good. You called at a moment where Mike was just starting to explain to us how he built from scratch a riding mower.
Well, that's a little
I'm exaggerating.
More than
I did.
Put it together. How about that?
He had to forge the iron.
Yes, right.
Yes, right. I had to paint it.
Right.
That's right.
The tires were really tough.
There's this YouTuber, I totally forget her name, and she lives, I believe, either in Thailand or China, and she rebuilds things over the course of many days. The one that you can trip out on is her restoring an old motorcycle that she found on the side of the road.
All right.
And then she tricks it out and turns it into this awesome thing. But she's over there forging metal, and she's doing a sandblaster.
She's got one of them welder's masks and stuff, right? Like, Mike doesn't have any of that.
She's doing it in, like, just, like, jean shorts and a T-shirt. She's got no real, like, safety precautions at all. And in, like, 40 hours of YouTube later, she's got a brand-new, sick-looking motorcycle. That's how I envision Mike's day-to-day was.
Yeah, it was close to that. For example,
the shorts
at one
especially.
Point, yeah, the only thing that I have in common with her is I wasn't wearing goggles. But at one point, I'm looking through all the different, you know, the videos are always so, this, you know, very gentle music, and a person comes along, sounds very friendly, and says, all you need is a few simple tools.
Yeah.
And like the list comes on the screen. What are these things?
Right?
I mean, oh no, a socket wrench. I'm dead. but we got there, and you were one of the first people I thought of to tell, because you are, you know, you're like
projects.
This,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
you
yeah.
Renovate and build.
I'm so proud. I'm absolutely so proud. Today I was going back and forth with my mom on what the ideal size of a tomato planter should be, because she is the queen of resourcefulness, aka in my mind, kind of like ghetto stuff. And like she just duct tape and just use what she has. And so we've been using like 5-gallon paint buckets that have been washed out, obviously, for as long as I can remember. And I haven't had a ton of curiosity around the science of it. So she's been using these 5-gallon tomato planters. Well, they're paint buckets for the tomato planters. And I just researched this today. And every nursery, ChatGPT, which I've since last talking to you guys have just become obsessed with, you need at least 15 to 20 gallons for each tomato plant. And that's why we've been getting blossom rot, which is horrible. It makes your tomato basically unedible. And so me and her are going back and forth, and she's like, well, that's just too much soil. I don't want to buy that much soil. I'm like, okay, well, that's why your tomatoes aren't flourishing. So that's the kind of day we've had so far.
All right. You're going to come up with a plan here, I'm sure.
Oh, I have one. We have these they're like fabric. They're made of like almost a burlap bag sort of, or a felt kind of a thing. And they get very heavy, and they're meant for tomato plants. We got them for free from the neighbor, of course, because that's how we roll. And I want to try them, but we're currently just evaluating how much it'll cost for that much soil for 10 tomato plants.
If she's going to get the tomatoes she wants, she's going to have to do it your way. That's the bottom line here.
That's what I said.
If you don't want my help, then don't ask me, and enjoy your rotten tomatoes. Simple.
Even though it is our Mother's Day tradition for the last 30 years.
And it is Mother's Day week.
And by the way, since the last time we've talked, I have adopted a puppy.
All right. Named?
Little Ollie.
Ollie.
His name is Ollie. He looks like a little miniature Emma. He's a black Pomeranian, but he is just as sweet as pie. Makes no noise. Doesn't do anything. He just lays in your lap for as many hours as you'll let him.
He's not about to start destroying your furniture like my pug and your shoes and different things around the house. That's not coming.
I don't think it's coming. No.
Okay, good for you.
I don't think so.
Good for you.
Congratulations on the destruction, though.
Yes. The NBA playoffs. Trista, talk to us. I mean, I know how rabid a fan you are. Seems pretty good, and maybe even a little bit shocking what's going on right now.
Yeah, I think it's people are probably that are casual fans absolutely shocked that the first 4 or 5 games that we saw in the second round of the playoffs, the road team has won all of them except for OKC just beat Denver last night, I think it was. Yeah, last night.
They just barely squeaked by them by like 48 or whatever they did.
Yeah, exactly. Just belt to ass. But I think what you're seeing is injuries and bad coaching and a bit of complacency. And the things that we worry about, and it's like, keep this in mind, if we see this team falter or collapse, the thing that we've always worried about in terms of the Boston Celtics, because I think that one's the most shocking, is kind of like been the rap for multiple years now, even prior to Joe Mazzulla and Ime Udoka taking over as head coach, all the way back to when Brad Stevens was the coach. When I was living in New York, I had a whiteboard in my living room. And I don't know why this became the only thing on the whiteboard. Don't ask me why. The only thing on the whiteboard was how many times the Celtics had given up a double-digit lead that season. And I believe we got to, like, over 20 on the year. And that was with Brad Stevens in 21. 2021. So this is a reoccurring theme. And then another reoccurring theme for Jason Tatum is the man simply loves taking threes more than his own family.
Yeah.
He simply loves ISO contested step back threes more than he loves Deuce Tatum. And so that has become something that's reared its ugly head. And the team as a whole is sort of infected with this, we're just going to outmatch you and shoot more threes than you, and then we're just going to, you know, beat you to hell. That's a high-variance decision. When those threes don't fall, a team like the Celtics, which is they've got their hard hats on and their lunch pails, and they're going to get very physical with you, coming especially off of playing against Detroit, which that was an extremely physical, gritty, you know, rough-and-tumble series. I think the Celtics are very shocked by this style of play. And when they went up 20, they took their foot off the gas, continued to take those threes. They weren't falling. And now you got yourself, even though they were up, what, 15, 14 with 7 minutes left to go, a bunch of zero pass possessions. New York makes smart decision after smart decision. They've got more endurance than you, and they're built for this a little bit more in terms of, like, these tight, close games. All I'm trying to say is the Celtics have kind of been front runners, and we've known them to be front runners, and now they have been revealed to us right now as front runners.
Where do you see it going from here? Do you think they'll make Boston will make it a series, or do you think they're in real, real trouble?
I think both things can be true, right? I think at any time, if Boston's focused and Boston does what they're supposed to do, which, you know, they've got a game plan that works. That's why they go up 20 so often on these teams. If you continue to execute that game plan and do not stray from it, they could beat New York four times in a row. That's not something that I would be shocked by. But I also think they're probably shook by losing two games at home, and now they're going to Madison Square Garden, which is, you know, a very tough place to play. So I think that they can do it. It's just a matter of whether they will, and I have no clue about that. And then in terms of Cleveland, I just think they're, like Boston, because I didn't mention this, just sort of decimated by injuries, right? Like where Tatum's got an injury, Jaylen Brown's got an injury, Kristaps Porzingis still has that illness, Jrue Holiday still has an injury he's got lingering. Same thing with the Celtics. You've got, you know, Darius Garland has turf toe, which I don't know why people are poo-pooing that. That's a real injury. We know as football fans, that's nothing to be played with. You've got a role player in DeAndre Hunter with a dislocated thumb. And then you've got Evan Mobley with a sprained ankle. And now you've got Donovan Mitchell. He's going to play, but he's banged up as well. So the Pacers have gotten a little injury luck. And on top of that, the Pacers are just one of those teams that have a penchant for coming back regardless of how big the lead is.
Are we into TK Pucks mode yet? It is May.
I'm gonna need more than a day's notice for TK Pucks.
Okay, all right. That's fair.
Well, what about out west? I was watching game one of that series between the Nuggets and the Thunder, and I was on an airplane, and as we were approaching landing, the game turned off. There was, I don't know, they were up 9 with, like, I don't know, half the fourth quarter to go, and lo and behold, they lost at the end, but then bounced back. They I assume are in command, Oklahoma City.
Yeah, I think Denver kind of punted game 2. I think they started resting their starters in the middle of the second quarter. They're old. They're an old ass team. And so I think, and they're a thin-ass team. So if you're going to make it a series with OKC, you're going to need to just concede and try to take the rest so that you can live to fight another day instead of expending a lot of energy on a game you're probably going to lose anyway. So I think that was smart. I do think OKC should win that series, while Denver should have lost, though, to the Clippers. So anything's possible there. And then in terms of the Warriors versus the Timberwolves, that series is actually on tonight, but really interesting and fun because Jimmy Butler has turned into this malcontent in Miami. That's kind of been his rap, right, with Minnesota, with Chicago, with Philly, with Miami. And now he goes to Golden State, and he's found his quote-unquote joy again. He and Buddy Hield are making jokes at the podium, and they're making T-shirts called Excluding Buddy, and they're calling Buddy the butler out of the Batman-Robin sort of, like, scenario. And Buddy Hield had an awesome Game 7 and an awesome Game 1 against Minnesota. And now Steph is out, right? And so Steph has got the first strained hamstring of his entire career. He's crying to Steve Kerr, and they find a way to win. And, like, as much as I can't stand our Dubs, this is a team that you can kind of feel pull at your heartstrings a little bit if they can hold down the fort until Steph Curry gets back. If they don't, I still rock with Ant Edwards and everything that he's about on the court and everything that he does in terms of snatching souls of superstars, which he's had a bunch of guys that he's taken down already, what, Kevin Durant and Jokic and Luka and LeBron and, you know, potentially Steph Curry and Jimmy Butler. That would be one hell of a resume. But I think that is going to be quite the series as well.
Trista, good luck with your mom's tomatoes and everything else.
Thank you. Ollie says hi.
Ollie says hi.
Hi, Ollie.
Hi from Margo and
Fred. Until next time, Ollie.
Thank you, Trista. Good insight, as always, on the playoffs. TK Pucks, I mean, you're in it or you're not. It's fine. I'm not in stuff.
It could make you feel a little bit like she was only entertaining the TK Pucks thing because of her appearances with us.
And I think it was more of her job then. Like she was on
doing other topics.
That night show.
Yeah, now she's more focused on basketball.
I think so, which is great.
Yep.
We'll talk some Bills here. The schedule is Wednesday. The league announced when they're going and where they're going to start leaking certain games. So let's talk some schedule. What do you want? Week 1, week 18, home away, night games, all of it. 803-0550. We'll also do some more Stanley Cup playoffs today. More than just asking Trista if she's following it. With Greg Wyshynski from ESPN, that'll be at 5. Lines are open for you. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, WGR. Welcome back. We'll be looking for your calls again very soon. 803-0550 is the number. Greg Wyshynski joining us at 5 today. ESPN has both of tonight's games. Washington and Vegas are the two home teams. The NFL, I saw it through Warren Sharp, put out dates and networks for when they're going to start announcing certain games. I mean, could this league, is there anything left to do? Apparently there must be.
You're going to get the schedule for when Good Morning America is going to tell us the first Monday Night Football games.
Exactly. Right? Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
By the way, since you brought that one up, that'll be on Tuesday.
All right.
Which game? Like an ESPN game.
I got to wait all the way till Tuesday, man.
Well, Monday, we have NBC on the Today Show. They're first.
All right.
Fox at some point. Prime at some point. ESPN on Good Morning America on ABC Tuesday. CBS Mornings, Bulldog, on Wednesday. Get them out in the morning so we can talk about them all day. And then also Netflix will be on Wednesday. I guess that's everybody.
Wow. Yeah.
And then Wednesday night for the whole thing. So it might not be until Monday when we get the first reveal.
But with that many carriers, it feels like, I don't know, what's the over-under on number of Bills games we might know by Wednesday morning after this last?
One.
Only one? One?
One and a half?
One and a half. I think it's got to be the number.
I think you'd want to use all different teams, maybe. Maybe not. Because you don't have to pick week one. Like, NBC goes first. Maybe that's the opener.
Yeah, right.
Maybe
the first Sunday night game, but I don't know. The opener for sure, though.
Right.
Netflix is going to tell you what Christmas is, right? Yeah. They have all three Christmas games.
Do they?
I think so.
I don't know.
Last
year there were two?
There were only two. So maybe they, I don't know what the details are there, but if you think the Bills are live to play on Christmas, like there's a game you could find out.
That's right.
Ahead of time. And then, what else do we have there? Like, what is CBS doesn't have like a primetime venue. So what are they announcing?
I think they announced Chiefs Bills last year, or was it the year before? Because the both of those games were CBS.
Yeah,
425 games.
Right.
Where Kevin, the one account, tweeted, "I can't wait for the Bills to win this game and then feel nothing." Right. I still love that line. Right. Which is what it was.
Yes.
I mean, the Allen run was pretty great. Felt great. It wasn't that everybody was sort of numb, but it's another year into that where the Chiefs win in the playoffs again. And what are you supposed to do with this meeting? I would guess, for no reason other than the obvious, that game, again, would be like a November game. Could be October. They've played them then, too, but not super early or super late.
Yeah.
But we'll see next week. 803-0550 for your thoughts. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here, WGR.